Welcome to episode 93 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levesey, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Brent's back, so of course, what are we doing? Review Corner. Because it seems like those are the only episodes with Brent on it these days. Yeah. Yeah, Brent. I said it. I'm calling you out. What are you going to do about it? Huh? That's what I thought. Here now. Comic Timing.
Hey, everybody. It's Brent. This came out a little bit later than I hoped for. Got busy being in San Diego right when Ian was leaving and work and stuff. So, anyway, just ignore the Heroes Corner promo at the end. But do note that Heroes Corner is the best place you can get your books for cheap. And Comic Timing books and picks will not be on this ad, but they'll be on the info when you click on your iPod and do show info.
Brent lies! He lies! And this episode of Comic Timing is sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. Please ignore what Brent just said about there not being an ad, because there is one! Yeah, how about that? Alright, it's just switched over to August here. Heroes Corner has just put up their brand new comic books for August, and a bunch of great deals this month, including Cowboy Ninja Viking number 1, 75% off for only 88 cents. We've got Comic Book Comics number 4 for $2.57. Clive Barker's Seduth 3D number 1 for $3.59. And a bunch of other great ones like Spider-Man 1602 is 50% off for $2. Bart Simpson's Comics number 50 for 40% off for $1.79. And of course, make sure to use the promo code CTROCKS, CTRCKS, to get an additional 5% off on your first order with HeroesCorner.com. That's their first order with Heroes Corner. Will only work that first time, but it's certainly a good way to get you in there for an additional 5% off. Adventure Comics number 3 is the DC pick this month for Heroes Corner from Comic Timing. 50% off the Review Corner pick, $2, regular price of $3.99. It's the reuniting of Young Justice, basically, as Superboy, Red Robin, and Wonder Girl are in this issue, so I'm certainly looking forward to that, as should you. Daredevil number 501, the beginning of a brand new team on the book, now that Brubaker's left. Andy Diggle, with art by Roberto De La Torre, cover by Esad Ribic, which I'm sure I just absolutely butchered, with a variant cover by Tim Sale. This is only 75 cents, 75% off of the regular price of $2.99. And last but not least, the brand new sensation, Chew number 5, is only 50% off for $1.50, regular price of $2.99. The end of the first story arc here for Chew, so I figured it'd be a good time to bring everybody on here and find out exactly what the book is all about. If you have been reading it, make sure to read Chew number 5 and read it along with us, and we'll let you know what you thought. And if you haven't been reading it, hey, this might be a good way to catch you up and hopefully read it after that. And plenty of fan picks this month you can go and check out, and a whole bunch of other great deals. Best damn customer service around, as usual, heroescorner.com. Now back to the actual episode.
I'll be on the bottom there. So check that out for our new books that we're picking for the next couple review corners, and we'll see you later.
Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 93 of Comic Timing. Done with episode 92. There were two parts, and there will only be two parts for that, I swear. We are joined yet again by the returning co-host, not co-host, co-host who edited the last episode but had nothing to do with it, Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
You were exactly right last episode. I hate being on episodes where you talk about cons that I didn't go to. Well, you hit the nail on the head.
Well, all right. See, I hadn't been to the con, all right? I hadn't been to either of the cons, so it was basically just an entire, so how awesome was it? Oh, yeah? Well, what'd you do? Well, oh, wow, awesome, cool. Did you do that? Yeah, wow, terrific. Who'd you get to meet? Oh, fun, awesome. Yeah, great. I didn't do it. Which is interesting, sort of. Sean Pryor was funny, so was Martheus. Listen to the episode, good. Please, I promise. Okay, well, you listened to it because you edited the damn thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Beginning and end?
Just a little bit. No, more than that.
All right, good. Just making sure.
Beginning, middle, and end. I scanned through for long pauses and stuff, but I figured, yeah, it's probably safe. There's like 6 people on here. So, you know.
Yeah, and Lynn Workman couldn't make it on that episode. However, he did post a large amount of the pictures he took during the Superman celebration on that episode's feedback thread on the forums, so go ahead and check that out if you indeed would like to experience it through Lynn Workman's eyes. So this is indeed the Review Corner episode where we're going through about 2 months' worth, I guess, because five books out of the six that we would be doing, because Justice League Cry for Justice seems to be missing from my pile somewhere in this room, I'm sure, and Brent doesn't get it till Monday. So we got Amazing Spider-Man, the short Halloween numero uno. We got Batman in Barcelona, Dragon's Night, numero uno. Killapalooza, numero uno. We got John Constantine, Hellblazer, number 256 for variety's sake, and Runaways, number 11.
For variety's sake.
Well, I mean, number one, number 256. What does not we fit should, this?
Did we pick Killapalooza 1 or 2?
We picked Killapalooza 1. I've yet to read 2.
We did? Okay, I grabbed 2.
Oh.
I have 1 as well. I ordered 2. I think we picked 2.
No, we picked 1.
You sure?
100% certain.
Because somehow I ended up ordering just 2 and had to go pick up 1 at a comic book shop.
Well done, man. Well done.
And then I looked at my order and I picked up 2, 3, and 4 on Heroes Corner. And I told them to cancel 3 and 4, and I read 1 and 2, and I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Want to find something amusing? I ordered 1, 3, and 4, but not 2. So I had to go to the comic shop to pick up 2.
So we did pick 2.
No, we did not pick 2.
Are you sure?
I'm positive, because it wasn't on my Heroes Corner order.
I don't know.
You can look back at our previous episodes, man. Killapalooza number 1 is on there.
It is?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I liked number 2 better.
Well, I haven't read it yet, okay? So we can't really talk about that too much, but we'll talk about everything else, all right?
All right.
What do you want to lead with? Your choice.
Well, since we were talking about it, do you want to start with Killapalooza?
No. Okay. All right. Okay. We'll start with it. So,
hey, I don't – well, I'm not going to say that yet.
What?
I was going to say, I don't think we there's anything on this episode that I absolutely hated.
Uh-oh, look out. Yeah, so Killapalooza, number one, by a writer that we like and an artist that we like, so that's a good sign. Adam Beechin and Trevor Hairsine. And is there a junior at the end of Trevor Hairsine? I always forget.
No? I don't think so.
Okay, because Trevor Hairsine Jr. sounds like an outfielder for the Cubs.
You know, Mark Texiero plays baseball and draws Ghost Rider.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
It's on the All-Star game that's happening right now.
Yeah, I should be watching that, but I'm here recording with you.
I know. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
I was watching it while I was waiting for you to get on.
Fan-damn-tastic. So, what'd you think of episode one? Episode one. Yeah, episode one was a horrible movie, but what'd you think of issue one, even though you liked issue two better?
I liked issue one. It started off, you know, slam-bang with this action team killing people. It's a damn violent book.
Oh, you better believe it. But here's my issue with it, okay? It's a Wildstorm book, and yet they bleep out all the curses.
Yeah, that I didn't understand. It's almost like it was meant to be a DC book or something. Uh-huh.
And they decided at the last minute that they wanted to do Wildstorm?
Yeah, but even so, they still had 3 months that it was solicited as Wildstorm, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe for all we know, it could have been Beecham's choice. Like, maybe he thought it would be funnier that way if they bleep everything out. But
yeah.
I still read everything as curses.
Do other Wildstorm books have the curses in it?
Yeah, Ex Machina.
Okay.
Yeah, Ex Machina definitely has curses, and I mean, there are some books that you know steer clear of the curses, like, you know, the actual like main Wildstorm universe books. But
right.
You know, other than that, any book that's published by them is free game. You know, but
gotcha.
But anyway, let's talk about the plot a little bit. So this is a heavy metal band that kicks the ass of anything that comes near it, as they have a dual identity. You know, they're a heavy metal band by day and a kick-ass secret agent team by night, from the looks of things. However, this time they're contracted to sort of be working for the wrong side of the law, depending on which way you look at it, which is, you know, I guess a little bit of a change for them, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, the premise of heavy metal band by day and secret agent team by night sort of just drew me to this right away. I mean, that was in the solicitation. I knew it was coming, and that made me happy. Actually, reading the issue itself, I think that Beechin pulls it off perfectly because they all have like their own distinct personalities, and they hate each other's guts like every other band does.
Yeah. I thought they hated each other's guts more than most bands do.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I mean, these guys are, you know, going far past the dudes in Almost Famous, you know, at the end there.
Yeah, a little bit, man. Although I'm sure that the members of Metallica hate each other just about as much as these guys hate each other.
Well, I mean, if they had a therapist, I'm sure they're over that now. But at one time, I know they were.
Napster bad.
Money good.
Yeah. Now, another thing I loved about this issue, all the fake band names.
Yeah, those are great. It gets even better in, is it this one or number two where they're in the hotel?
They're in the hotel.
It's this one. Yeah, this one.
They're all blending together for you, huh?
Yeah. Because, I read it. I got two, and then I went in a comic shop and ended up getting one.
Uh-huh.
And I read them both together at the same time. So it just kind of blended together.
Okay. Well,
All in all, both of them read as a really good read. So I'd say pick this one up.
Yeah. Well, and the band's name, or at least the main band's name in this, is The Clap.
That's STD, right?
Yes, it is, Brent. Very good. Someone was paying attention in health class.
I never took health class.
You never took health class?
No, I didn't have to.
Wow. Hmm. Oh, well. Well, every time I think of The Clap, I think of that that line from I think it was Family Guy where I'm sorry. I think actually it might have been The Simpsons where they do this parody of the Fonz. And it was like herpes and The Clap twice, But anyway,
I just think of the Busta Rhymes song. Let's make it clap. Let's make it clap.
And I'm sure he was indeed talking about the STD in that song. Now,
nah, probably not.
Oh come on, he's Busta Rhymes. He's Busta Rhymes. He's been there. He's done that.
Busta Rhymes.
At least three times. And went to the doctor for each situation. Now the band characters are what ass is one of them. I know that. Do they all have like bodily names?
No, it has to do with they're kind of explained in the second issue what their powers are and what their names have to do with them.
Okay, all right, because they don't really go into that here.
No, they don't. But they at the very beginning of the second issue they go into it.
All right.
So it's like, oh, okay. And then, only then can you kind of really tell which character is what. I mean, you can kind of do it this time, but I mean, it flows a lot better in the second issue.
Okay.
As far as what character is what and who's who.
Now, are they still planning to break up in the second issue? I mean, I don't want to reveal too much about the second issue since we're talking about the first one here, but I mean, is that going to be a running thing? Should I expect that?
No, the second issue is, it's more the UN thing.
Okay. All right.
So that's a really good scene.
Okay. Yeah, because obviously if they break up, there is no comic.
Right. And well, it's only six issues, so it'll probably happen at the end, right?
So they can do it at the end. Oh, well, unless Beechin wants to do more, in that case, they could stick together and he could do, you know, more miniseries. Quite frankly, after reading this first issue, I'd like to read this as much as possible. Because this is the first Wildstorm miniseries that I've actually been pleasantly surprised by in a while. I picked up some first issues of things that really just, meh, didn't really work too well for me, but that was certainly not the case this time.
Yeah, I have not picked up anything Wildstorm, really, other than that countdown issue where they crossed over with the Guardians of the Universe or whatever they were called.
Yeah.
And I think this one was about it.
Dude, DC Wildstorm Dream War was awful.
Was it?
Oh, it was bad. I
think I thought about picking that up, and then I went, nah.
There were moments in it that were okay, but it was one of the most pointless things I've ever picked up, because it wasn't like it was an actual real crossover. It was basically just all happening in this one kid's head. Oh, no, a spoiler. You know? But what are you going to do? Art by Hairsign. Obviously, I've seen him before in the work that he's done for the Ultimate Universe and a bunch of other books for Marvel, mostly. But he has done a couple of stuff for DC, right?
I know he was on Ultimate Six, which is where they had the Ultimate Sinister Six for, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yep.
And then he was on most recently, the last thing I can remember him on was, the Vulcan storyline. The first one that Brubaker wrote. I forget what that's called.
Right.
Deadly
right.
Genesis.
Yeah, you got it.
But he didn't finish it off.
No, he didn't.
So I'm interested to see if he finishes this one off.
I certainly hope so. Ooh.
Ooh, yeah.
Art delays do not make me happy. But that doesn't seem to be happening because they got the first two issues out perfectly fine and the third one solicited. I enjoyed it a lot. There were a couple of muddy moments, but I thought that it actually worked for the book. You know, like the darkness in the dark tone of the actual situations going on in the book itself lent itself to the art. Like, I mean, had this been like a straight up superhero action book, Hairstein might not have been really like meant for it. But he does a good job with this, I think.
I think he did a good job, but sometimes, like, I think they're just going over his pencils here. Oh, let me look if there's any inker listed.
Let's find out.
No, music, colors, and letters. Okay. So either Hairstein, they're just going over his pencils, or, which I think they are, looking at the inks, or at least the blacks in here.
Yeah.
I would have to say they're going over his pencils.
He could have used an inker.
Yeah, but I think that's what slowed him down in Deadly Genesis, that he inked his own stuff or something.
Okay, all right.
I could be wrong, but I don't know. It's not as slick as it was on, Lionel Yu on New Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I would almost prefer him with an inker here.
Well, what do you think of the whole like digital concept of going like straight from pencils to colors in that process? I mean, it's sure it's been going on for years now. I mean, that's what LaRocca has been doing ever since like Extreme X-Men, where it was first starting out. And there, it was really muddy. It didn't really work 100%. For certain people, I think it does a good job. For other people, not so much. And I don't think Hairstein. And again, I like the art. It's just that I think Hairstein needs an inker.
I think so too. I think it's a little bit too muddy for me.
Okay.
It just looks like as if someone's took a smear over it almost. Mm-hmm. So.
You notice that a little bit more in some of the crowd scenes in the hotel. Like when we see that hot girl for the first time. Who's hitting on the. When the band member with the blonde hair, yeah, this is how good I am with names. ass, yeah, okay, yeah, ass from the clap, yeah, yet again, ha 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 ha. You know, when we're looking at her, first shot we see, they're not that attractive. Second shot, they look a little bit more attractive. Then they go back to being not nearly as attractive, thanks to the art being a little bit inconsistent there. I think with an inker, it would have been able to, keep the faces a little bit more consistent throughout the issue. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, overall, it made me happy.
Now, I liked it. It was good art. I mean, I've realized how much I kind of missed him on other things.
Right.
But, you know, if he can do a six-issue story that he likes, you know, especially something as fun as this, and he can kind of cut loose with all the violence and stuff in it, you know, awesome.
Oh, and dude, how about Genghis Audrey and the collapsed lungs? You know? A guy that looks like a cross between Marilyn Manson and the Joker.
Yeah, you've really got to check out issue number 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really do.
A lot more going on?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, I am going to read issue 2, and I have issue 3. I'm pretty sure if it came out already. If not, then it's in my shipment at least. But I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm going to be here for all the issues in the miniseries, straight up. No doubts about it here. In fact, I'd go as far as to say it's about a 4 out of 5 for me. It was a lot of fun. The writing style. Beechin's done a lot of things. You know, he's ranged from, you know, stuff like Robin to, you know, obviously something like Killapalooza, which it's hard to go from one to the other because, like, Robin's so straight-laced, and here you go with Killapalooza, which is totally over the top. But this is almost like a Garth Ennis writing style going on here. I like it a lot out of Beechin.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, he was the one that did the Titans East arc, right?
Yes.
On Teen Titans and yes. Whatever stuff he did after that, I didn't really like that as much, but I liked him here.
Yeah, but I mean, I liked all of his Robin stuff.
The most expensive, yeah, and his Robin stuff was great. I think Robin is the most exposure I've gotten to him, but just Titans and the Countdown stuff, and wasn't feeling it, but he did a good job here.
Oh, I will say the one detractor from this, that like 3-page preview of StarCraft, oh my god, ew.
I don't even read those. Yeah. Those previews in the back that I just skip them. Forget it.
No, sometimes they are worth it. Like, for instance, the Vertigo previews are usually good because they actually have turned me on to a couple of new books. Like, Unwritten, if you haven't had a chance to read that yet, that's a lot of fun. And I actually I found that in the back of an issue of Fables and you know, started reading it, and then I was happy I did. But, yeah, StarCraft, no thank you. I'll pass. Bad art. Bad art. Bad.
I just remember having bad experiences with StarCraft since that's all my old roommate used to do.
Oh, really?
Back in the early days of me on Comic Timing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. See, if I was editing the show, this is where I'd you know, jump back to like one of those moments, but Brent's editing, so it ain't going to happen.
Previously on Comic Timing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't have all those saved up.
Damn it!
No.
Some bitch!
Damn it! Oh, shit!
I technically have all of that saved because I just moved the servers a little while ago, so all that stuff's still sitting on my hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anywho, I was very, very happy with this, and I do want to actually see more. The only other thing that I'll ask is, I don't know, like how viable do you think the concept is? I mean, do you see it lasting past something like six issues?
The way that the band is fighting and stuff, I don't see it lasting past that.
All right, I got you.
I think it's just a quick 6-issue thing that if you don't pick up now, it's going to be hard to find. Mm. Kind of like Bang Tango. I picked up 2, 3, and 4 of that.
Uh-huh.
Kept loving it because I remember saying on the last review corner that I needed to pick them up.
Uh-huh.
Picked them up. Loved it, and now I'm having a hard time finding 5 and 6.
Ah, man.
And I went into the the small comic shop by my work, by the college,
mm-hmm.
and I walked in, didn't see it, walked out, and as I was walking out, the guy was like, "Can I help you find anything, man?" I was like, "Do you have a Bang Tango 5 and 6? And he looked at me, I was like, "Vertigo?" And he just went,
"Oh, dear."
And I was like, "Oh, great."
And that's when you decided never to go back in there.
No, I'll go back in there. It's a nice store.
Well,
just got to go when you need something.
I guess, yeah. Well, I might actually have extra copies of those off the check because I bought a bunch of the Bang Tango issues off of Rodney Ramos when I saw him at Mocha, and I might have also ordered them. So if I do have them like extras, I'll ship them over to you. Deal. But yeah, so what do you give it?
What do I give it? I give it about a 4. I liked it.
All right. Yeah, and as I said, I give it a 4-2. It's slash and bash action, and sort of reminds me of Metalocalypse's superheroes. And we'll be reviewing Metalocalypse soon, if that issue ever comes out. Okay, moving it on. Yeah, that's
it'd
the one.
Be like another G-Man.
Yeah, no comment.
Oh, speaking of those Green Lantern toys I was talking about at San Diego,
uh-huh.
No Indigo Lantern.
Son of a bitch.
No purple or indigo. Red, orange, green, blue, and yellow.
All right, so what did you want? Red, blue, and yellow.
Yeah, you know, I've got a. I don't have the green one. Any of these would be good.
Yeah, all right.
Or all, as many as you can get. Don't like go out and like say I have to get all of them for Brent.
Well, there.
You know?
I see right there graffiti designs, $20 a piece. I'll see what I can do. All right,
there's one. There's like one a day. I think they have released one a day.
One a day. Okay.
Yeah. All so right. it might be difficult, but don't. You know, bend over backwards for it if you have a chance.
I don't like bending over backwards in Brooklyn because then bad things happen and I wind up with a clap. I figured it was relevant. All right, let's switch over from the hooray, yay, action, blood, violence, woo, to the slapstick humor. How about that?
Okay, over to what? Spider-Man?
Yeah, Spider-Man. Short Halloween, number one.
You know, let me rack my brain here. It's been so long since I read it.
Well, written by Bill Hader and Seth Meyers with art by Kevin Maguire.
Oh, right, that one.
Yes.
I knew which one. I was just kidding.
I know.
So let me pull it out here.
So two SNL people with Kevin Maguire, one of the...
oh, yeah, I do remember this one. I like this one a lot.
Oh, this was hilarious. I mean... The best way to describe it it's sort of like it feels like to me it came straight from the Bwahaha era of JLI.
Well, you're just saying that because it's Kevin Maguire.
That's not even it, man. Like, humor-wise, like, this was very Giffen DeMatteis when it comes to humor.
I liked it, but I've read those I Can't Believe It's Not the Justice League and the one after that, mm-hmm. or before, those two miniseries they did, and I didn't really get those.
Eh. Oh, well.
Some of those are kind of humorous, but I've never read JLI, but I really like this.
Okay. Well, I will say, even if you don't agree with that, though, the art in this is fantastic.
Yes, yes. Kevin Maguire is very good here.
Yes, yes, yes. Now the
Spider-Man on the first or second page, I thought, could use a little work.
Uh-huh.
Not the best Spider-Man I've ever seen, but everybody else he does in here is great.
Well, because the best thing that Maguire does is facial expressions, and it's hard to do facial expressions with Spider-Man.
I'm aware. Thank you for pointing that out. He wears a full mask, Brent. Come on.
Yeah, man. Come on. What are you doing? God.
I love the girl with all the lips on her.
Oh, yes.
All the different mouths. That was hilarious.
Gossip. Gossip was her name.
Yeah.
Gossip Girl, that is.
Gossip Girl.
I mean, what else would you call a girl with, like, three mouths? She just won't stop talking. But, all right, so the basic premise of this is it's Halloween, and Spider-Man's PO'd because, well, Halloween is, like, the worst day in the world to be a superhero because everybody's running around all drunk and stupid and, you know, dressed up in costumes. So half the time, you don't even know if you're going after a supervillain or some putz. So, anyway, he's going after this guy who I believe was... Damn, what the hell was his name? It's not
Fumes.
Fumes, thank you. Yeah,
he's one of the founding members of Furious Five.
Yes.
And the guy's from Kung Fu Panda?
Yes.
Which is totally true.
We're going to have to change our name. But yeah, he's chasing after Fumes, and Fumes gets a lucky hit in. And
I still don't know how his costume works. He just has fumes coming out of the back of him? Or
I guess.
They never really showed.
Well... I mean, what the hell do the fumes do? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
But all right. Well, either way, he gets a lucky shot in on Spidey. And, you know, Spidey falls to the ground. And coincidentally, this is about the same time that some idiot dressed in a Spider-Man costume for Halloween.
That's drunk as hell.
Drunk as hell.
Is walking down the alley and falls in that same pile.
Mm-hmm. His name is Ronnie.
Yes, Ronnie. His friends pick up Peter Parker, the actual Spider-Man, and carry him home. And hilarity ensues when the guys dressed like Dr. Octopus and the Green Goblin that they met at the bar and pissed off follow them home or have his wallet or something and proceed to try and kick the crap out of him.
Yeah, well, they followed him home because they overheard their address when they were saying to the cabbie
when they got in the cab.
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but basically,
I thought it was hilarious when his girlfriend's bitching at him. Oh, Ronnie, I hope you still have some place in my heart. Kiss the hand. What the?
Yes. And then she gets webbing in the face. Which...
She gets a real Spider-Man. There's a reason why they call it that.
Oh yeah. So, Gossip Girl, Haymaker, Badger Teeth, and Mr. Think.
Badger Teeth. Badger, 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 badger.
Mushroom, mushroom. Gee, I wonder what Badger Teeth's powers are. Or Mr. Think. I wonder what he does.
He thinks. Badger Teeth is a Sabretooth ripoff, looks like.
Yes. Well, Sabretooth, Badger Teeth. Of course.
I just now got it.
I mean, this is the way you do it.
Because he's hairy on his head.
Wait, say again? You totally cut out there.
I said he's kind of the opposite of Sabretooth because he's hairy on his head and not on his body.
Yes, yes. Well, all right. This is the way you do a one-shot.
Which head, Brent?
Oh, we're not going there, all right? We're done with the clap. We are done with the clap.
Let's make it clap.
Like I was saying, this is the way you do a one-shot because it was one and done, fantastic, funny. And the story was told with a nice happy ending to it too, where Fumes basically decides that maybe the supervillain life isn't for him, and he'll go to a life of maybe good things, quite possibly, because he seems to give up the Fumes identity. And I love that his father wanted him to become a refrigerator repairman, but he rebels.
It's great.
Yeah. So
I really like this. This was an excellent.
I agree.
Why did this come out now and not Halloween? That's what I want to know.
That's the question, man. Like, they first announced it at New York Comic Con. So it was April when they announced it. And it came out in June, if I remember.
Yeah.
And that's not Halloween. I mean, I understand Christmas in July, but Halloween in June, nuh-uh.
Yeah, and I hate this damn thing. 33 pages, only 399 cents. Yeah, thanks, assholes. And then they give us the American Sun sketchbook in the back. Yeah.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
Awesome. Fan fucking fantastic.
But that's extra.
Phil Jimenez. He only did one issue.
I know, right? Well, the other guy today that they had to do the rest of that actually was pretty good, but still.
No, they have two guys. The guy I love the most is Paulo Sequeira, draws like the McFarlane looking Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, the last couple of issues, not the finale, but the like 598 and the one before that, uh-huh. He's only been doing like the Peter Parker Harry scenes and not the Spider-Man ones.
Oh, all right.
Come on.
Oh, so my favorite part of this, I'm Spider-Man. Shut up, Ronnie.
I gotta read this again. This was a great thing.
You almost done, Ronnie. Don't rush greatness. I think he's in the home stretch.
Yeah, it just tells you how talented Bill Hader and who's the other guy?
Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers. I don't know his face, but I know who Bill Hader is.
Seth Meyers does Weekend Update.
I don't watch SNL.
Well, he does Weekend Update.
But I watched Saving Sarah Silverman, or Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Saving Sarah Silverman.
I get those mixed up. No, up, no, down, no. Left, right. Hey, I know what you're doing.
Or
the other cop, super bad.
Or baby. And it was Saving Sarah Marshall. You just combined Sarah Silverman with Sarah Marshall.
I don't know. There's some other one that Sarah Silverman was in. It was like escaping somebody.
Whatever.
And Jack Black was in it.
Let's just end this with you know who Bill Hader is, okay? Yeah. So how about the team dynamic of the Fearsome Five? Or the Furious Five?
Not very fearsome.
You think? What was the power of Gossip Girl past having extra mouths?
I don't know. That was multiple guys at once.
Ooh. Oh, you're just going to keep on rolling with that, aren't you?
Yeah, let's move on. I would give that a 4 as well. What would you give it?
4.5.
4.5.
Four and a half. I mean, come on. Good writing, fantastic art. How much better can you get?
All right. Well, let's go from good writing to fantastic art to Hellblazer,
ouch. This is Peter Milligan you're talking about here.
Well, let's just say I didn't get what the hell was going on in this issue.
Yeah, see, here's the problem with going into a title at issue 256.
No. We read this and it goes, new arc, uh-huh. New writer, new artist, and it seems like I missed an issue.
It felt that way to me, too. Yeah, because it seemed like Peter Milligan was going off of a story that had already been established, and they didn't make that clear at all.
No.
You know, the whole Hellblazer being – not Hellblazer, Constantine being addicted to this medicine or whatever that this young kid who's like
you know
a mage
what?
Or something.
I listened to Raging Bullets talk about this issue before I'd read it.
Uh-huh.
And then I read it. And I was like,
it was like
where the
things,
hell
right?
is the stuff that Raging Bullets was talking about?
Well, they had been reading it sporadically before this.
I know, but even they were talking about love potions and all this other stuff, and I think I got a little bit out of that, but it wasn't quite clear what the hell happened.
Well, the love potion thing, and this is what I got out of it.
But it looked like he injected it in himself at one point, and that's what I'm confused about.
He drinks the love potion so that she can fall for him. That's the way the love potion works.
She doesn't give it to her?
No. No, he creates a love potion out of her hair. Remember when he brushes the hair off of her?
Yes, yes, but that's what confused me. Why is he taking her hair if it's a love potion?
Because, okay, love potion.
And then he drinks it, so what? He couldn't fall in love with her, but she was not digging him before, but he was digging her.
Basically,
so how does this?
Okay, this is the way that the love potion worked from the way that I saw it. Okay, he gets the potion. Yes, that's a given. All right.
Okay.
Then he gets the hair.
Got her hair in it.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Combines
the two. He drinks it. It does not affect her. However, the DNA from her hair makes it so that she falls for him. He basically has this attraction to him now. That, you
so
know,
it's pheromones, it's like pheromones type stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That's how I saw it, and that part of it actually was my favorite part of the issue. You know, that Constantine is so depressed over losing this girl because you know he's getting older. That's the thing about John Constantine is that it's 256 issues and he's aged significantly since the series started. So
what confused me though is that we never saw him get the love. Drink the love potion outright.
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn the page after he's talking to her on the phone. She sounds like she doesn't want to talk to him anymore. And then they're like making out and she's all into him now. And then he just looks in the mirror and looks like I'm a bastard or whatever. And I was like, for what? I don't understand.
They could have made that a little more clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will go with that. I understood it at least. I mean, I understand.
And the characters, like the little demon chick that he goes and with the crazy writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really know what's up with her, and the who's the other girl? There's some other girl that's like with the blue hair.
Yes.
He's addicted to her medicine, but I'm confused as to what the medicine does.
No, it's just a big
like clusterfuck.
No, he's not addicted to her medicine. He's addicted to the medicine that this little kid guy.
The little kid guy gives him. Right. All right.
Yeah, yeah. No. The one with the blue hair gives him the love potion.
The love potion.
So
it was just confusing because he sees the blue hair and then he sees the girl and she's like not digging him, right? And then he goes home, sticks himself with this needle, and then goes and sees the little kid girl.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I know he says Julian and then he uses the name for the little kid girl.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, all right, what's going on here? I mean, Jesus Christ.
I like how your name
could have been a little straighter.
I like how your name for this person is just a little kid girl.
Boy, girl, I'm confused as still what the hell it is.
I don't think we're really supposed to know either, but I think it's a girl because it looks like an all-girl school.
Yeah, I kind of didn't really understand what the point was of showing her at the all-girl school.
She's wearing a skirt.
Well, not that. I'm just saying, like, that page and a half. It just showed how dangerous this thing is. Okay, understood.
Yeah, well, it also shows that, you know, this is... This is the setup for what this person wants Constantine to do for her, you know, to get the teacher out of the way so she can continue her magical shit that she's been pulling at the little shindig here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but wasn't exactly a jumping on point.
No, I think we misjudged this one a whole lot.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you read good solicits.
Yeah. Art was solid. That's how far I'll go, though. It wasn't stunning. It wasn't, you know, amazing. It was solid. It got the job done, you know?
I mean, Giuseppe Camicoli, I remember reading him on 52 and stuff, mm-hmm. and I liked him there. He did one of the issues with Batman and Nanda Parabot.
Yeah.
Is the one that stuck out to me the most, but I don't really think he fits Hellblazer.
Yeah, really, you think?
No.
Well, what was it exactly that you didn't like about the art?
He's too, almost like too clean.
Hmm.
I mean, too clean edge, you know, sharp lines and everything. It's almost like they need a guy with like a lot of cross hatching and stuff.
Okay, so more like a Michael Lark style?
Yeah, more like a Michael Lark. I mean, even like there's very little shadows on anything. It looks like a cartoon up until, you know, where he's really playing off. You know, there are shadows here, and then there's shadows on somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's just, you know, line after line after line.
Well, I think the art actually works strongest when the love potion is taking its effects, because I adore the look of her eyes with, like, the red glow that seems to be going on in there. I mean, it's the sunglasses that you know give it that effect.
Yeah.
But it also comes off as, you know, she's under the spell of the love potion, which I thought was really, really cool. And the hell was her name? God, I suck with names tonight. Name of the girlfriend.
It doesn't matter. I don't even remember if they even said it.
Phoebe,
okay.
All right, there we go.
You know what? This is it really doesn't matter to me because this is not a book that went, oh, I should have read Hellblazer before, or oh, I should go get some trades.
Cover was amazing, though.
The cover is amazing, yes. But like I was hoping for some demon fighting, you know, the shit that they had in the movie.
Or at least some sort of setup. Or at least some sort of setup that would make me want to read more. You know?
Right, exactly. And here it didn't do anything. It was about love.
Right.
And here I thought Constantine was a hard-blazed, you know, British fuck.
Really, all
fight
this,
demons.
All this shows me is that I need to go back to like the Garth Ennis arc or something like that, and just read earlier Constantine.
You know what did it? What interested me, you know, when we picked this was the Comics Now article,
uh-huh.
or the one half of it that came out #3 before it, you know, went down the tubes or whatever happened to it.
Yeah,
I pre-ordered mine. That's all I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
But
so did I.
There's another. I think part two is on the CGS website, but there's no pictures, which bugs the hell out of me. But the picture's up. I want to see some pictures so I can know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But that one, that half that David D. wrote that actually came out in the magazine got me really interested in, you know, reading Hellblazer.
Mm-hmm.
And
this didn't really help matters.
This didn't help anything at all, no.
Yeah, I'm giving it maybe a 2.5.
I'll give it a 2.
Yeah, it's an okay issue. It's just it's something that I'll put into my box and I'll probably never read again.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing special.
Nothing special.
It's not horrible. It's just nothing special. All right. Let's move on to, as I rummage through here, we went Vertigo. So how about we go Runaways?
Okay, if you say so.
Uh-oh. you gotta put it like that?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I just feel like Runaways, ever since Brian K. Vaughan has left, that it's gotten the shaft numerous times.
Oh, I think this is the best that Runaways has been since Brian K. Vaughan.
I did like this issue. I have read Brian K. Vaughan's run. I don't think I've read the last digest.
Yeah, Joss Whedon.
I've read like either one or two. I have not read either like one or two of Brian K. Vaughan's, yeah. But I've read most of it.
Okay.
And the ones I did, all the ones I did read, I really did enjoy. I did not read Joss Whedon. I did not pick up Humberto Ramos, Terry Moore.
Mm-hmm.
However long that lasted. Did that even last 10 issues? Because Ramos has been on Avengers Initiative for a long time.
It was about, I don't know, I think 8 out of the 10 issues that Terry Moore did, Ramos was on. So he was on there for a decent amount of time.
Okay. But it's been on like hiatus though or something since then?
No. There was a, this is only issue
11.
So issue 10 was a one shot and then we roll into this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, my thing is here, when you read, do me a favor, when you read the Joss Whedon Runaways, if you do eventually get to it, let me know what you think, because I thought that was very underwhelming for a Runaways arc, that it did a solid job, but I didn't think he got the voice of the characters right. When I'm reading this Catherine Immonen issue of Runaways, it felt like the characters that I read during Brian K. Vaughan's run that made me happy.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, I've read it such a long time ago. Probably like 2 years when I read that Brian K. Vaughan stuff. But I do remember immensely enjoying it, and reading this kind of brought me back to that.
Yeah, and Sarah Pacelli, I think, is an up-and-coming artist that you got to watch. Because I read the MYX miniseries that Pacelli did, and I actually just finished that about like 3 or 4 days ago, and that art was stunning.
I mean, this was good, but I still love that Adrian Alfonso, the guy who started it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, he does some great stuff. I don't know where he went to.
I think he's doing movie stuff.
Okay.
I think. I'm not certain about that. I think Hollywood came a calling.
This art was good. I think what turned me off a little bit to it, though, was that it seems like it's over-rendered.
Really?
The coloring and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
It seems like it's, you know, over-rendered. It's over-rendered.
Well, the
or the differences in colors are just too much.
Yeah. Well, the color artist on this is Christina Strain, And I think Christina Strain has done Runaways before, because this looked pretty consistent to the way that Runaways has looked in the past. I know
that she's talked to the alternate reality guys a couple times, and when I listened to that podcast before they canceled it, mm-hmm. the first time I listened to those a couple times, she sounded like a pretty nice girl, but
yeah,
I don't know. It works in some places, like the night scenes.
Yeah, and
the last page is just beautiful.
Oh, definitely. And the effects on Carolina's powers, too.
Yeah, those are really nice, too. But just some of the other things just looks almost like too bright and shiny.
Well, it may be
under the fluorescent lighting and stuff, but I don't know. Just some of it didn't work for me.
I hear you.
It's almost like there was too much popping off of the page.
Okay. So you would have preferred things to be toned down a little bit?
Yeah, toned down a little bit.
Well, that's still something that they can work on a little bit for future issues. So perhaps they will.
Like the prom scene.
Mm-hmm.
What prom is that well lit? Honestly, with the disco ball, seriously.
But this is a magic prom.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, the premise of the issue, it's kind of easy to tell here, is that the Runaways basically decide that it's about damn time they have their senior prom. So they go ahead and go off and do their thing with that while Molly entertains herself with their other stowaway, which I guess you're not that familiar with, the new member of the team.
Well, I'm familiar with Victor. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with Carolina. Uh-huh. I think the last arc I do not remember Gert dying.
Okay.
So that I probably read the one before that happened, maybe I'd read the one where she did happen.
Okay, well,
where she did die.
So Clara's the only one that you don't know, right?
Yes.
Okay. Clara got picked up during Joss Whedon's arc when they were back in time. So she's actually from 1910.
Uh huh.
And she was a child bride that they basically rescued away from pretty much imprisonment.
Okay.
So that if they ever make a joke about like her being married, that's why they're making that joke.
Okay.
All right. But you know, Clara's basically just a new playmate for Molly, which is good because now she's got someone her own age to relate to on the team, which you know I think they kind of needed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now with the issue itself, it's a typical issue of Runaways. I mean, you know, they go through the prom and everything, and there's a little bit of drama here and there. Zavin is gone. Zavin being Carolina's, I guess, sort of bride, depending on which way you put it. Yeah,
the scroll thing.
Yeah, the scroll that associates as a woman, not as a man.
Mm-hmm.
Since Carolina is a lesbian, so, you know, that's the way to do it. And in the last arc, a little bit of a spoiler here, but this, you know, sort of, you got that from this issue anyway, that Zavin took her place on trial. And that's why Zavin's not there anymore. Zavin's currently in Carolina's form.
Yeah, I got that, but yeah. I didn't know what she was on trial for.
Okay, well, her planet went crisplode during the whole annihilation wave, and they blame her for it.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Good fun for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what's going on with that.
So, I mean, I got up to that, and that all this was good. And then I'm looking back at it now, and the Predator drone crashing into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really know what that's about. And do we have to really kill old Lace? Seriously?
Yeah.
This Clara girl, does she have plant powers?
She
Is
does.
That what's going on at the end?
Yes, she does. She has plant powers. Yeah, that's her ability. She basically talks to plants and can make them grow and whatnot.
So why does she go batshit crazy?
Because she was just knocked out and, you know, wouldn't you?
Doesn't like dead dinosaurs.
No, she doesn't. Well, all right. And plus, Old Lace dying, Chris, I think, put it best. When she read it, she went, cop out. Because you're hinting that someone's going to die, a member of the team is going to die, and you kill off the dinosaur that doesn't talk.
Yeah. I do. Was that in the solicitation?
Yes. Yeah, there was a solicitation that one will die, one will live.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, Old Lace, I don't really count her as a member of the team.
I do actually count her as a member of the team because Old Lace has been on the team since, like, issue 2.
But she's like a pet. That's like killing Toto in The Wizard of Oz.
Okay, all right.
Someone will die. Don't know, not Toto.
If you killed Crypto, would Superman be pissed?
you know, he's in and out of Superman's life so much, I don't know if he'd be angry at all.
If you killed Streaky the cat, would Supergirl be pissed?
Who?
Exactly. All right. Well, well, if you kill the family pet, you're going to be pissed. All right? And that's basically what's, I assume, is going to wind up happening here. There's also rumors flying that Gert's going to wind up back from the dead. I don't want that happening. I think Gert's fine where she is. I mean, Gert was a fantastic character while she was around, but it's, you totally invalidate the whole damn thing by bringing her back.
Well, you know, Blackest Night is coming.
Wrong company.
Oh, right. Sorry.
We already went through this on the death episode.
So what is the deal with Runaways? How come it can't keep the numbering? They got to keep restarting it. I'm surprised they didn't restart it with this issue.
They decided along the line somewhere that they're just going to do this in volumes as opposed to keeping the numbering all the way through.
I know Brian K. Vaughan did it, but that doesn't mean you have to do it.
Yeah, I know. But that, I guess that's just what they decided.
I mean, I listened to John and Bob talk about, you know, numbers all the time, how number one issues start high and then drop down. But for me, it seems like Runaways is such a weird property in itself that starting it over and with number ones continuously is not going to be that beneficial to you. I understand how they're doing it with the Flash all the time.
Really, all it does is it signals that there's a new volume, you know. Like, and they're not really doing that much here because obviously they're gonna break it up into, you know, six issues. But if they feel that there's a natural story break in Runaways, they'll probably stop it for a little bit and then bring it back with a new issue one. Consider it to be extended, like maxi series.
Well, then I wish they would put the volume number on the cover.
Well, that would be
something
nice.
Like that.
That'd be very nice, but they're not going to do that. I know. It's Marvel. When has Marvel ever made sense with this shit?
Yeah, and they're starting another Spider-Man series.
Actually, no, they're not. They canceled Spider-Man Family, and that's basically just being branded as Web of Spider-Man.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that Spider-Girl was in it, I went, no thanks.
Yeah. I like Spider-Girl, but I'm not going to pick up a book for $3.99 just to get her.
No.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting Spider-Man Family either, so I figured, fuck it.
I liked the art, and I didn't really have that much of a problem with the colors. I will say that probably the strongest part were the scenes with Molly, where you know that they're all in the lounge area with old Liz.
I really enjoyed the scenes that were the prom and like the romance stuff.
Oh, that was good too. Yeah,
actually, I enjoyed those things the most for some reason.
Well, what a lot of people forget, and Terry Moore definitely did this in his run, and Joss Whedon to a certain extent did it in his, is that Molly sort of puts on an act for everybody else with her personality. She is actually smart, and she's older than she acts. You know, because during Brian K. Vaughan's arc, when she had this one specific, I think it was like a two-issue storyline where she was in the sewers trying to rescue these other runaways, basically, that were being oppressed by this one particular guy. You know, she stood up for herself, and she got them out of there, and she did a wonderful job of it. And she was the leader. And she stepped up to the plate and proved that she is just not this little kid that tags along all the time. And Terry Moore sort of painted her as that. I think that Catherine Eminem is already showing in this issue that Molly is a lot stronger than she lets on. Personality-wise, that is, because obviously she can kick everybody's ass. So that made me happy.
Right.
Agree, disagree?
Agreed, yeah, I guess.
Okay, all right. Well,
I mean, I don't know that much about Runaways in recent history, so.
Well, does this make you want to read more?
Not necessarily, no.
No? All right. Will you eventually pick it up and trade?
No, I mean, I picked up those things from the library, the old digests, and they were good, and I just kind of feel like I could just go and finish the Brian K. Vaughan stuff and then be done with it, because if it's the end of a volume, you know?
I hear you.
It's the end of a chapter. It might as well be the end of the story in some people's eyes, but.
Well, I would at least recommend reading the Joss Whedon stuff just so I can get your opinion on it. Because again, it wasn't the strongest for me, but that some people still say that it was good Runaways, and there were some moments that were great. Like, for instance, there's one scene where Molly kicks the crap out of the Punisher, and everybody's like, Molly, why'd you do that? You're like, well, I thought he had powers or something. He's the Punisher. What'd you think he had, punishing powers?
Well, awesome.
Yeah, well, whatever. It was funny to me, Dick. So,
welcome.
Yeah, all right. But I give it 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'll give it a 2.5, closing in on a 3.
Damn.
I'm not going to pick up the next one, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah. Well, I am picking up the next one, and I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
And we move on to Batman in Barcelona, Dragon's Night number 1. Written by Mark Wade with art by Diego Olmos.
Diego Olmos.
And a very sketchy cover by Jim Lee.
This looked like Jim Lee recycled the Batman pose of the statue I have.
Yeah.
The Hush statue.
I've definitely seen this. Well, I think they did that on purpose to try and show him in like a new city or whatever.
But I mean, come on, Jim Lee. He has more than one Batman pose.
Yes, he does. And the background was not very appealing on the cover.
Well, that's an actual cathedral in Barcelona.
Yes.
I've seen it before when I was over there. It's a very nice cathedral, but Jim Lee did not do a very good job rendering it, no. Because,
no.
I mean, yes, the towers are a thing that's very, that stand out about it. But he just kind of went half-assed on it, on this cover, I thought.
Yeah. Well, was the issue itself half-assed? That's the question.
No, the issue itself was fantastic.
I agree.
I loved every second of this.
Well,
and I don't know why. The one done stuff just works for Batman.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
I know this was longer than a regular issue, but you know the Detective Comics stuff with
Paul Dini and Dustin Nguyen. Yeah.
And Dustin Nguyen, and even when when he first started out, when Don Kramer was on there for a continuous run,
mm-hmm.
you know, after he kind of got away from the 1 year later branding and the different artists all the time.
Yeah.
Even that stuff was fantastic. One and done just works for Batman.
Well,
especially if you can, or one and two, you know, this is kind of like two issues put together, but just this one format, it was great.
Well, speaking of the Udini stuff, this felt like a really good episode of the animated series. You know, like even the premise.
No, I mean, I hate people always comparing, saying that when they read stuff that's Batman by Paul Dini.
Well, yes,
he's taken a darker tone to most of his stuff. It's
but guess
animated
what?
Series.
This was Mark Wade. That's why I'm saying it.
Oh, you're right. we were talking about Dustin Nguyen and
yeah,
and,
yeah. I know. This particular issue, I felt like it was a nice. That this issue would feel nice animated. You know, that's how I'm looking at it. Like it had a story that was appealing to a wide audience and not just, you know, longtime Batman fans. It made me feel good at the end. It was a nice, simple story that did what it needed to do and just ended. And it had some of my favorite Bat villains in it also. You know, Scarecrow, Killer Croc,
yeah.
Mad Hatter getting the crap beat out of him. Good times.
Good times, yeah. You know, Mark Waid hasn't, he has never really written Batman, has he?
Not, although...
Just as a side character in JLA and mm-hmm. in Kingdom Come, yeah.
And Brave and the Bold.
And Brave and the Bold, but never really a full-blown Batman story, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Or he's not really had like a long Batman run that we can look to.
Yeah. No, that,
and this, man, I want Mark Wade on Batman sometime.
Well, they say the same thing about, you know, Mark Wade and Superman, that he's never had an extended run on Superman.
Yeah.
You know, but either of the big two could really use a nice Mark Wade kick. I would certainly say that.
He's doing a good job on Spider-Man, the stuff that he did right.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, the Mark Wade Spider-Man stuff has been some of my favorite so far in Brand New Day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll let you describe the issue since I've described every issue so far.
No, I did helped you out on Long Halloween.
Right.
Or Short Halloween.
Okay, all right.
And what was the other one? Oh, that's the other one I did talking. You're right.
Be please, Brent.
Okie dokie. So we open up, and we are in Barcelona Airport with Wayne. And then we go flashback, which I kind of hate. One page, don't waste my fucking time.
Yeah, a little silly.
Yeah, one page flashback. Kind of weird. Anyway, Killer Croc has escaped, and we're interrogating what's his face? Scarecrow.
Miles Crane.
Miles, no. Great. Scarecrow.
Yeah. Crane is Scarecrow.
I know. They don't call him. His name's not Miles, is it?
Wait, is it? Is it?
No, it's something else.
It's not Ichabod. Damn it, what the hell is his first name? It might not actually be Miles, but.
It's not.
No.
I forget.
I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up because I'm not sad.
Okay, well, you look it up. I'll keep describing. Killer Croc's escaped, and we're wondering where he is. So Batman's interrogating Scarecrow, who mentions to him that he implanted a suggestion in Killer Croc that he should go to Barcelona.
Jonathan Crane.
Jonathan Crane, thank you. And be the, you know, slay St. George, who killed the dragon of the old myth.
Yeah.
So he's kind of over there eating people, killing people. So Bruce decides to go over there and, you know, on a business trip and, you know, see some architecture by Gaudi and, you know, meets this pretty, pretty assistant, or she's like the art director or something.
Someone and from his past.
Someone from his past, right. And then it looks like he goes into a museum, goes into the bottom of it, and there's a bat cave in the bottom of Barcelona.
Sweet!
I mean, with 3 Batman costumes, 3. How did he know he was going to be in Barcelona and need a bat cave this stature?
Dude, I guarantee you.
It's not a closet. It's a cave.
No, I guarantee you that wherever there's a Wayne institution anywhere in the world, there's a bat cave.
This is not a Wayne institution. This is in the bottom of a museum.
Yeah. Has it been funded by Wayne at any point?
No, it just, you know, straight to the museum. Doesn't even explain anything. But
it says, besides, if you'll check the construction files.
Because I have not read this in forever.
Yeah. Besides, if you'll check the construction files, you'll see some quite generous checks cut over the years in a number of strategic international locations for just this sort of eventuality.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are the lines, and that's why there's a bat cave in there.
All right. Well, he's got a pretty cool bat cycle, and I'm pretty sure I had that toy.
Oh, yeah?
Of this cycle where you had, like, a covering over the Batman.
Sweet!
It was from Batman Forever, actually.
Ooh.
This particular one. I think I still got it. But it had a big fin on the back, like the big bat fin.
Oh, cool.
Pretty bitchin'.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we find Killer Croc. He fights him. Croc disappears, finds him again. You know, hilarity ensues, and they go to the chapel.
Hilarity. Okay, maybe in the short Halloween, but I don't know if hilarity is quite the thing to say.
There's some nice parallels here with Batman as the knight and Killer Croc as the dragon, especially there's a whole full-page splash of a similar picture of Batman spearing Killer Croc through the shoulder.
Yeah.
That was pretty fucking badass.
It was pretty awesome, yeah.
And eventually they make it to the cathedral that's on the cover, and they do their final battle, and Batman ends up taking Killer Croc back to Arkham.
And that's that. But
that's that. That's it.
And don't forget, one of the driving things is that, you know, Batman thinks that Croc is under the influence of either fear toxin or some sort of Mad Hatter device, when in reality, Croc's just in the mood to kill.
Yeah. Which sometimes you get thirsty for a little Latin blood, you know? Yeah,
sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
All my joys have nuts. Mounds don't.
Because. All right. And the art in this, and we've had some pretty good art this time around for the review corner.
Yes, we've had. I'm going to just tear out this punch out insert. I hate these things.
All right, go ahead.
God, I just did it. Much better.
All right. Diego Olmos, not really that familiar with his art.
I actually think he's Spanish. That's why they did this Barcelona thing.
Really?
Yes.
Is that why his name is Diego Olmos?
I think I remember it in the solicitation. Oh. I'm not sure, but...
Ah, so. Well,
yes.
Well, I'd like to see him do more stuff in America.
Yes. His stuff is very strong. His storytelling was very good. You know, unlike that Batman or Captain America Daredevil one shot we did, that was from Italy, an Italian artist.
Damn!
That was, you know, I mean, you kind of liked it, but the storytelling there was not very solid.
No. Let's remember that. I liked the Daredevil parts.
Oh, you liked the Daredevil parts. Anyway, yeah. The art there was kind of wonky, and the storytelling was not that solid. Here, it's solid.
Yeah. No, definitely. And the colors in this, since we were talking about colors on Runaways, the colors on this complement a Batman story perfectly because
They're muted and, you know, they use that orange on that one page to really bring out the splash of, you know, and every time, there's another scene where Batman stabs Killer Croc again. Wow. I forgot about that. That's awesome.
Yep, two stabs.
And there's a lot of really nice spreads in here, so if you guys see this on the rack for cheap or something like that, pick it up. Definitely pick it up.
I mean, it might be in a dollar bin someday, for all you know, but
This was definitely worth $3.99.
Certainly, yeah. And actually, his rendering...
Not even $3.99, because we got a discount.
Woohoo! His rendering of Croc, I think, was my favorite part. Yes, that was
very good.
He didn't do it over the top, because a lot of...
It's not the Jim Lee Killer Croc that's been popular for a while.
Yeah.
It was almost like a mix of both, and I kind of like this one better than the full crocodile head like Jim Lee turned him into.
Yeah, I agree. I like him better as just like a little bit of a freak that happens to have scaly skin.
Yeah, a skin mutation rather than something else.
Yeah, like more like he was painted in the in that wonderful Dark Knight prequel that you enjoyed so much.
Oh, Gotham Knights?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to bring it up just to have you go, yeah, at least once.
Yeah.
Hey, you brought up Captain America Daredevil. Yeah, this was a much better presentation of international waters here. And Mark Waid, we love you. We're still sorry.
Uh-huh.
Well, we presented Raft to him. It's a painful thing to do in any
way. I know.
Yeah. And the use of shadows in this, too, like was so good. Whenever Batman was bouncing out of the shadows, I enjoyed it a great deal.
But he wasn't too much in the shadows, and there's a nice balance there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they used the shadows liberally and not to fully cover him up as a big black shape.
Yeah.
I hate when they do that.
Well, what'd you think of the old acquaintance's reaction to Bruce, you know, and his Playboy ways, or at least his pretend Playboy ways?
I really liked it. I thought Bruce was rather playful in this issue, and it made him a lot of fun to read about rather than just kind of the boring, you know, billionaire going around. It reminded me of the approach they took in, you know, Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, where he's really, like, you know, playing it up.
Yeah.
In public, and then when you get him one-on-one, he's kind of like a normal person.
Different person, yeah. No, totally. And not to completely spoil it, but the ending, the present that she gives Bruce, I think, is so touching, you know, because it presents a totally different side to their relationship. I mean, we'll never see this character again, because it's a one-shot, it's Mark Waid. Mark Waid's not a regular writer of Batman. We'll never see this character again, but I'm happy that she gave the gift she did to Bruce at the end of the issue. You know what I'm talking about? You remember it? Should I just spoil it, since you probably don't remember it? Well, she gives him the book, the empty book, and basically tells him...
Oh, yeah, fill your adventures in it. Yeah,
fill your adventures in it. Make your story. You know, let people know that you're not just some billionaire Playboy putz, and that you're actually, you know, a philanthropist, and that you're actually helping people out. You know, whatever you do that's good in your life, write it down in this book. And I kind of hope he does. You know, at least in my mind, I kind of hope he does. It makes me feel good. And what the hell's her name? One more time, just so I can say the name at least once. Damn it. Son of a bitch.
Damn it.
Yeah, well. Come on, David. I want to get her name at least once here. Wow, they don't say
Phil,
that
Phil,
often.
Phil, Phil.
They don't actually say her name. Like, at all. Let's see. Here we go. Christina. That's what it is. Christina Llanero. Better. What? The double L. Llanero. I took Spanish.
I know. Very good job, sir. High five.
Mm-hmm. Woo! Yeah, I wouldn't be able to speak any Spanish at all. I guarantee you I would not be able to speak any Spanish at all if I went to, like, any sort of Spanish country. Yeah, 4.5 out of 5.
I would go the same. 4.5. Excellent, right. Excellent.
Yeah. For sure, pick it up if you have the opportunity. I mean, it'll never be collected in anything because it's a one-shot, but pick it up if you can.
You won't regret it.
Exactly. And if you do regret it, blame Brent.
It's okay. It's my job to be the bad guy. on these shows, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay. I can live with it.
Part of being the co-host, right?
Part of being the co-host.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Good times.
So, did you see these Blackest Night figures that I sent you? Click on the link there.
Yeah, let me click on it right now, actually.
Let's talk about this since we, you know, probably have like under an hour recording time here. A little bit over an hour?
Yeah, a little bit over an hour, about an hour 15. Yeah. You know, once you take out all the pauses and shit, it'll probably be like an hour 10.
Forget who you're talking to.
Yeah, good point. No, seriously, you're going to have to edit this a little bit because I actually didn't pause it past when we first started, so our beginning conversation's in there, so you got to always put that in the bloopers.
I always do that.
All right.
Well, but once we started, it was pretty good.
I like it.
Yeah, look at these things. I mean, I knew Atrocitus and the Earth 2 Superman, but Larfleeze kind of looks kind of funny. I might pass on him, but Blackhand, new Kyle Rayner, that Firestorm looks sick.
It is pretty awesome, yeah.
And we already got a Violent Lantern, but apparently we're getting another one.
I really want that new Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, that's awesome looking.
Yeah, and
seeing as how little times we're ever going to get one. the ones for me that I would really, really want to get, Blackest Night Superman,
mm-hmm.
Crib,
oh,
Kyle Rayner, and Black Hand.
Actually, I might get Crib, and this sounds really messed up. I might get Crib for Chris because she actually...
It comes with babies.
Yes.
She can put the babies in and out of her back.
She read the issue. She doesn't even read Green Lantern on a regular basis, but I handed the Green Lantern Corps issue, the one with Crib on the cover, the like Faces of Evil one.
Yeah, that was excellent. I love
it. It was great. I handed it to her. She hands it back to me after she's done reading it. They're like, that was creepy.
That's like one of the best characters created in a long time.
Hell yeah.
Creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And I ordered, I made an order from Instant Friends.
No, you didn't.
I didn't. I ordered from some other place online, and I finally got the Green Lantern hardcovers that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm rereading those.
Cool.
The Sinestro Corps ones, so now I'm ready for Ethan Van Sciver come next MegaCon.
You know, Firestorm looks a little bit like
Ghost Rider?
Yes.
Gee, Flaming Skullhead? I wonder why.
I was going to go with the other one I was going to go with was
in the black, almost like the black jacket and the shoulder pads.
Yeah, but who's the one with the Linear Men?
Wave Rider.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like Wave Rider with that look.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah. But no, these figures are fantastic. If you haven't seen
them, these are going to be hard to pass up when these come out.
Hell yeah. They're on IGN.com for anybody who hasn't seen them, all the figures. And the exclusives that Brent would like me to pick up for him at some point when I'm at San Diego Comic-Con they are five, count them, five variations of
Hal Jordan.
Red.
Which these make sense because he's actually worn these rings so far.
Red, orange, blue, yellow, and green.
And green, yeah.
But who's rendering is this of Hal? Because I don't know.
That looks like...
face looks a little weird.
It looks like Ethan Van Sciver.
Okay.
Just from the face on the green and the blue.
You know, I would have preferred Ivan Reyes.
Looks like Van Sciver.
Yeah.
I think these other... Those Blackest Night ones are Van Sciver as well.
Okay.
All those look like Van Sciver, like the Aquaman, Firestorm. We've seen
the Kyle Rayner actually looks like Patrick Gleason.
Yeah, a little bit, but the Aquaman, all the Black Lanterns are definitely Ethan Van Sciver designs.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen those black and white, you know, half page posters all the time,
right?
And Crib doesn't really look like Patrick Gleason. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Blackhand is definitely a Van Sciver.
Yeah, so. I think these are all mostly from Van Sciver.
Yeah. Oh, and when you do read it, because I know you will the minute that you get it, the Green Lantern prelude to Blackest Night with the origin story of Black Hand will blow your mind.
Oh, Doug Monkey, already can't wait.
Oh my god, it's so good. It's,
you know, this week on this coming Monday I'm gonna have a Green Lantern orgasm because I have the last issue of that Green Lantern core, mm-hmm. and then I get Green Lantern 43, the prelude that you're talking about, Blackest Night number one, and then that anthology, the 3-issue thing, Tales of the Core, that comes out this week as well.
Well, okay, so here's what you do, all right, and this is something that I'm thinking that you might want to wind up doing. Since I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, just get on a call with Raph, have him record it, and just have a Green Lantern like orgasm on the air, you know, because you guys are all looking forward to it, and I'm not going to be around to record. Just record something.
I might do it by myself.
Do it by yourself. Do it.
I've been rather busy lately. We'll see.
All right. Because, you know, you got to tide the fans over somehow.
Yeah.
And they haven't gotten enough Brent lately.
I know. I read some comments and I was like, oh man, somebody misses me. Oh my goodness.
At least one person
What's
misses.
What's going
on? Oh, and the Star Sapphire, hot.
Yeah. I'm going to pass on that one. I passed on the last. They had a Star Sapphire in the last Green Lantern wave with Sinestro and Cyborg Superman. And the Batman Green Lantern. Mm hmm. Yeah, I got all those three.
Atrocitus, man. Atrocitus, oh my god.
Nah, I'll pass on him.
Yeah.
I mean, his figure doesn't look that enticing to me.
Well, he kind of looks like he's like laughing at you and pointing at you suck.
I don't know, his character is kind of like, eh. I mean...
He's angry.
Yeah, he's angry. The Black Lanterns, you know, Saint Walker, Crib, Black Hand, and Kyle Rayner are the ones I'm really interested in.
Yeah. For me, it's Kyle, Firestorm, Superman, and John Johns,
mm-hmm.
I think, because I adore the look of Martian Manhunter in black.
It does look scary. The John Stewart figure, not grabbing me.
Yeah.
His costume is just so boring with just the thing on top.
I know,
it's just
right?
boring. I'm sorry, Kyle. Or not, John.
I'm sorry, Kyle. Your friend sucks.
Yeah, your friend sucks. What I'm wondering, though, is when do they start putting the black around the Green Lantern symbol? Like on Kyle, and apparently Hal has it, too.
You know, yeah. I don't know.
Not on his figures, but I mean in the books, at least the Philip Tan stuff, it's got black around the symbol.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
And let me talk on Philip.
They wear white gloves. I mean, come on.
Philip Tan, that last issue didn't exactly please me.
Yeah, what happened to him, the Philip Tan we saw on Final Crisis Revelations?
Good question.
That was some good shit.
It was very good, and this one, not so much. In fact, this might have actually been the issue that C.B. Cebulski was talking about on Twitter, about how he was looking at an issue of the other companies, as he put it, you know, star guy, and thinking that they might have promoted him a little too soon.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what he does on Batman.
Ooh.
Since we picked that one.
Yeah.
It'll be the first issue. It'll be up to snuff, but we'll see how it goes.
It's Grant Morrison, so if he doesn't do good artwork for Grant Morrison will eat his puppy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Seriously, he will.
Philip Tan does some good stuff. I enjoyed all of his Revelations run. I think here it got mixed up because he tried that watercolor look.
Mm-hmm.
And some panels, and then you had, you know, Eddie Barrows filling in on a few pages,
mm-hmm.
on these last two issues. So, I mean, I'll just chalk it up to that, I guess.
And one more time, we're sponsored by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. Make sure to use CTROCKS, CTROCKS, to get an additional 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner. And this is the month to do it, as Adventure Comics number 3 is 50% off. Only $2 this month, regular price of $3.99. You save 50% off on this issue. And this is the return of Young Justice, basically. As Superboy's back, Red Robin's running around, Wonder Girl is still around, you know, hopefully. And they'll all be in this issue, written by Geoff Johns. Daredevil number 501, 75% off on Heroes Corner for only 75 cents, regular price of $3.99. Written by Andy Diggle with art by Roberto De La Torre, covered by Esad Ribic, yet again, completely butchering the name, but hey, go ahead and jump on to a brand new story arc for Daredevil. And Chew number 5 is also the pick. 50% off for $1.50, only $2.99. John Layman's story continues here, and it's been outstanding so far, and I'm sure you guys will love it too. So make sure to check out the rest of the deals running this month at Heroes Corner. I'll give you some of the fan picks right now off the top of my head. As usual, PKD Media's picked a couple of things, so go ahead and check out Bart Simpson Comics number 50, Comic Book Comics number 4 are their picks, and a bunch of others there as well, and the deals are crazy as usual here, so check it out. Best damn customer service around, heroescorner.com. Oh, and some random comments here. First off, everybody who's responded positively to episode 89, I'd like to thank you for that. No, not because Brent wasn't on it, but you know, for everybody who seems to have you know, spread.
What was 89?
89 was the how-to for comics.
Oh yeah, I like that one too.
Oh, good
job. Good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Because I've had a lot of people actually get in touch with me either via email or via the forums and mention how they either this helped them get into comics, or they actually mentioned it to their comic shop owner. And please spread the word.
Oh, you know, awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, really. I mean, more the merrier, quite frankly. You know, but not even just for us, but if this helps anybody get into the world of comics, that helps us all out.
Yeah, we don't get paid doing these episodes, and we don't have a studio like CGS does now.
Yeah.
Jealous.
Oh, man,
jealous
that studio looks awesome, dude.
And we don't have a Hank Pym doorway generator. We can hop into an alternate universe and be like, what's up, dude? Yo, what's up, dude? Clap, clap, touch in real life. I mean, let's just sit down and do this shit. Whatever. Can't do that. No, sorry. You got to get this Skype stuff. Hey.
Do you talk like that in real life?
No, I don't.
Okay.
You've hung out with me. Come
yes,
on.
Yes, I know that.
Oh, speaking of hanging out in real life,
yeah.
Sean Cummings and Travis Earls moved to Orlando, and they're like,
dude,
four big roads west of me.
And that's why the bitches couldn't make it to San Diego.
I know exactly where they live. Yeah, I just got a Facebook message from Sean that him and Travis just moved down. They're like moving stuff in now.
Very nice. Very nice.
So I'm going to have to get in touch with them.
Yeah, you guys got to go booze it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that and they are planning on being at New York.
Well, I asked them if they're planning on being at the mini MegaCon that's at the end of August.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, there's another MegaCon show August 22nd, 23rd.
Hmm.
It's a Saturday, Sunday.
Okay.
And they just call it a mini MegaCon.
Interesting.
The guest list is not so expansive, but there are two guys from Twilight there.
Oh yeah, whoop-de-doo.
That's how I'm convincing Mandy to hang out with me for a day.
Nice.
And
Your girlfriend has to be convinced to hang out with you.
Well, that's why she didn't come to the last one.
Yeah,
there was nobody there she wanted to meet. So I'm trying to convince her. She loved that movie. So
okay,
and I liked it too.
Oh my god, I hated that movie.
Twilight, really?
It was okay.
I kind of dug it.
What the fuck was up with coloring everything the color like dark blue?
I don't know.
I could barely watch it, okay? My plasma is tuned so that you can see every color perfectly, and I could not see anything. I cannot watch a movie if I cannot see it.
Sorry, Ethan. Sorry, Ian. I almost called you Ethan.
Yeah.
I did call you Ethan.
Yes, you did, actually.
I'm thinking about Ethan Van Sciver and these characters and...
Wow, dude. Dude, you just sounded like a transformer there, man. You just totally cut out. Oh my. You're still cutting out, so now it sounds awesome.
Awesome. It's kind of like the last episode I listened to that we did, the last review corner, and I was like cutting out. I was like,
yeah. It hasn't been that horrible this episode, though. That's good. That I've got a fan running in the background, so now my computer won't overheat and do that whole like really weird shit where it, you know, cuts out 5,000 times an episode.
So that's what was going on last
Yeah,
time?
Yeah, I have a feeling that was it. The room was too hot for the computer.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Other comments I want to make before we end things here. If you're not reading Last Days of Animal Man, make sure to pick it up in trade. Because that has been really, really good. I mean, I know we didn't pick it here for the review card or anything, but that is my pick right there. Really good stuff.
You know what? I'm thinking we need to pick when this might be in the next solicits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And since you're going to be out of town, I may just have to pick them all. But Magog, number one.
Really?
Keith Giffen, Howard Porter, I'm thinking it's going to be good, like the next, you know, like the next Blue Beetle.
Huh. All right. Well, if give it a shot,
you know,
if you
that's
wanna,
all he asked on Comic Book Resources. Give us a shot.
Honestly, if you pick it, I'll read it because I wasn't thinking of picking that up at all. I was going to totally skip it because I think it's a gimmick.
Really?
Yeah. That and we're already picking Metal Men. Doom Patrol and Metal Men, which is a Keith Giffen. But you know what? I made you pick that. So if you want to pick Magog, you know, in retaliation, that's fine.
we'll see whatever. We'll see what else comes out.
Okay, cool.
There may be something else that sticks out at me, but I'm thinking that might be it.
All right. Yeah. Oh, and War of Kings continues to kick ass.
And I'm still not reading any Annihilation shit.
And you suck for that.
Well, they have too many trades out. I mean, goddamn.
Well, catch up about it.
Got to read three to get caught up with the first Annihilation. There's like two more for the second one.
Speaking of threes, I just picked up my Starman Omnibus Volume 3.
Yeah, I haven't picked those up yet.
They are gorgeous.
I'm gonna get through Preacher.
Ooh.
You know what I hate though?
What's up?
I don't know if it was last summer. Yeah, it was like last summer. I finished reading Why the Last Man.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then as soon as I finished doing that, they came out with these deluxe hardcovers.
Yeah.
Now I have. Into volume 6 of Preacher, bought. I've only read up to volume 3, and the Preacher Deluxe hardcover is like coming out or something like that.
Bastards.
And I was like, son of a bitch.
How is Preacher anyway?
Oh, it's excellent. Excellent.
That's Ennis, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You would enjoy it. Very humorous. Have you read it?
I haven't actually at all. That's why I'm asking, because you know it's yet another one of those things that, you know, when I tell people I haven't read it, they shoot me. So yeah. I totally need to, you know, get into the whole Preacher thing eventually. I mean, I love The Boys,
mm-hmm.
and you know I love basically everything that Ennis has done in the past. So I will have to give this a shot.
Yeah, I see why people love Steve Dillon, mm-hmm. because this is making me love him.
Okay.
I mean, I read the his Punisher run with Ennis,
mm-hmm.
the Welcome Back Frank, and thought it was a little stiff, but this stuff is really good.
Plus, it
may just be because it's not superheroes.
I gotcha.
It's just a different you know art style.
Right. Yeah.
Because I know not necessarily everybody loved him on Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, and it not Ennis, but
Dillon.
Dillon. Yes, thank you. Dillon needs to just stick to non superhero stuff. Actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice.
It's really good. And as a Jew, you will totally not give a shit that it's blasphemous. Totally blasphemous.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I like this idea. Pass the ham.
Yeah, I've had it.
You read The Boys, right?
I read up to like 20 issues and then I fell off somewhere.
Ah, man.
I was reading them from my Uncle Bit.
Oh, yeah. He lives on Torrance Street, right?
Exactly. That guy.
Yeah, no, I know, yeah.
Kind of shifty.
Eh, it's all right.
But a good uncle to have, nevertheless.
He lives next to Mini Nova, right?
Yeah, well, he used to be a pirate, but now he's retired.
Oh, yeah. I used to go ISO hunting with him all the time.
Kind of like snipe hunting.
Oh,
have you seen Up?
Up was great. I saw it in digital 3D.
Oh, I did not see it in 3D. I wish I did, but...
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Snipe! You're snipe!
I remember going camping on Boy Scouts and going snipe hunting.
Oh, really?
And then trying to get, and you know, as I got older and figured it out, and then trying to get the new kids to go snipe hunting. And then they had that scene. I was like cracking my ass.
I left Boy Scouts after Cub Scouts because I'm a pansy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is all staying in, by the way, because I like it when we do this. Just
totally, totally. We haven't done the outro yet, so
just,
whatever.
Just shooting the breeze,
breeze. Less work for me.
Yeah. I forgot. you planning on I'm releasing it this week? This month?
Yes, this month.
Okay, good. All right. In that case, since I forgot to do the first one.
Please don't sing. Please don't sing. No, not that.
Yeah.
The happy birthday.
We'll always love
I turned on
Heroes
91
Corner.
And I almost. Was it 91 or 92?
It was 92 part one.
Yeah. Right. That's what I'm talking about. And I almost died.
Really?
Yes.
Well. Please don't. All right. Fine. Be like that. Be like that. I won't.
Oh, speaking of, you know what I noticed?
What's up?
I was looking on their website the other day, and they have a shitload of trades.
Yes,
actually, like old releases of trades. I think they, I don't know if this is like an upcoming announcement that they're buffing up their back stock, but they had all the volumes of Treacher, or not Treacher. That's a
Treacher. Wow.
That's a rapper. Treach, isn't he a rapper?
I think so.
You that one OPP? Yeah, you know me. It's that one.
Yeah.
Would totally know who it is.
You down with HC? Yeah, you know me.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. They had all the volumes of Preacher and, like, Why the Last Man. You know, all the Batman trades. They had them in stock.
Nice.
On their website. So I think they're getting, you know, a bigger thing. So, I don't know, maybe we'll see a launch of a competitor to Instructors. I got my stuff this past week.
Yeah.
But if they did, I'd certainly order from them.
Try not to mention that too often. But
but I think they should. They're buffing it up, you know. I mean,
I would certainly enjoy it. That would be nice. Well, I'm planning on getting from them at least at some point the Morrison and Miller Flash run which introduced the Black Flash. Because I hear that's supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, because I would certainly love to you know, buy my trades through them rather than having to go somebody else. But up until now, they haven't had the stock. But now that I've seen it,
yeah,
I'm going to be starting to look more often. So.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention. Wrath loved Akihabara deep.
Yeah, good for him. He's a nerd. What is this crap with him having a girlfriend?
Oh. Is this real? Yes, it's real.
Is this something that can stay in the episode?
don't keep this in the fucking episode. What the hell, man? Bastard.
Why don't we wait? Let's wait till we stop recording
You can email it to him.
All right. Let's exit out, and then we can get off the air and talk about that. Listeners.
So you know that show?
That's good in person.
So you know that show, Comic Timing, we do, Brent?
Yeah. What about it?
I hear it's sponsored by Heroes Corner.
Is it?
Yeah.
What is Heroes Corner? You didn't tell me about it.
Why, Heroes Corner is a lovely site where you can get things for cheap. Cheap, like comic books. And this year is their second year, officially, as it is their second anniversary. So how do they celebrate 2 years, Brent?
They give us 20 books for free?
No. Try again.
They each mail us a $2 bill.
Ooh, I like that, but no, that's not how they're doing it.
Do I get a third guess?
Yeah, you get a third guess.
They give us an extra 20% off.
No, but you're close. You're so close. Take that zero off, and you get
a 200% difference?
I said off, not
add. That's awesome.
An extra 2% off everything.
Oh,
That's
awesome.
That's pretty damn sweet. All right, right there. Anything
that'd be awesome, especially if you've got a, you know, you're a first time user on the Comic Timing and you use CT Rocks for that extra 5% plus an extra 2.
Yep, that's 7%
right savings
there.
This month.
Yep, and let's remember, folks, that's for first time users only. Don't try it if you're not a first time user. We know where you live.
Yeah, we kind of got in trouble.
Mm-hmm. No. We didn't get in trouble. We didn't get in trouble for that. What the hell?
I don't like hearing about our users taking advantage of people.
Yeah, well, they can't anymore anyway. They wrote a script. But anyway, 2% off, extra 2% off this month. So anything that would be 50% is 52%. Anything that's 75% is 77%. And check all that out because you get savings like Teen Titans number 75, which is $3.99. Yay. Whoopee. 52% off for $1.92.
I'm thinking that might be my last issue.
Yeah, really?
Well, I know I need to stop Titans eventually.
Well,
I just keep getting that for some reason.
Well,
I need to get rid of that. But Teen Titans has been good so far.
It hasn't sucked, and eventually two of my favorite characters will be back in the book. So, you know, that'll make me happy. But
What? Superboy?
Yes.
He's not coming back.
Oh, he's going to come back.
Geoff Johns owns his ass. He's not coming back.
What about Kid Flash?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, all right. And X-Men Forever's, 42% off this month for $2.31. Deadpool number 15. You know, yeah, they're all on sale. But let's focus on the most important thing, all right?
Which are the ones that we picked out, Ian?
Well, before I do that, a little pimpage here. Jetta Tales of Toshigawa Crucible.
Oh, I thought that we were talking about important things now.
Oh, what the hell, man?
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Martheus Wade, as you listened to last episode of Comic Timing, he was on, and he's a funny, funny, awesome dude. I met him back at CGS 300 and was a wonderful person to know and love.
Who's a funnier black man, him or Sean Pryor?
Ooh, that's tough. You know, I'm going to go with Sean, but only because I've known him longer. I've known Martheus longer, but I know Sean better. Yeah, I'll go with Sean.
We're going to have a UFC fight now.
All right.
At the Comic Timing 500 party.
Let's do it.
It's going down.
What are we going to do for 100? That's the question.
We got to plan it out. I send you a bunch of ideas, but I don't think it'll take us through 100.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll do something special. Maybe we'll do another one of those things that we did for like 50, where we do like the split type of thing and have a bunch of people.
Yeah, but you had a really good idea and topic for 50.
Yeah, I know. We got to think of a good topic.
Okay.
All right, but anyway, Jedi Tales of Toshigawa Crucible is only $1.95, and not only do you get the comic, but you get a free Martheus Wade sketch and a coupon for a free comic on Heroes Corner for the month after this one. So how do you pass that up?
You can't. I'm not.
Exactly.
You can take it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so go ahead and check that out there. And now for the ones that, according to Brent Count, are our Comic Timing picks of the month are as follows. We got Spider-Man the Clone Saga Numero Uno, written by... Come on, say it.
Todd Knock?
No, that's penciled by...
Ron Frenz?
No.
Howard Mackey?
Yeah, he's one of the writers.
I got one right. What do you want?
DeFalco!
That show's dead.
Oh, come on. It's still fun to say. Tom DeFalco.
You know why that show's dead? Because I didn't read Brand New Day.
Oh,
it doomed them. It
snap.
Did.
Snap. Yeah, you're
if
right.
If you don't have anything current to talk about, I'm sorry.
But do you know what Chris Johnson did? Because he can't read anything current.
He's got he a took book over of, someone else's feed.
No, he's got a
he's, Final he's, Crisis he's, stuff
he's,
that I...
He's got a book about the... He's got a podcast about the Silver Age now.
He has a podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Enough Said Podcast.
You know, I think he should leave that to the really old people. I mean, he's younger than us.
Yes, but he reads it, and he does it well. Listen to the Enough Said Podcast.
Okay.
All right, then. 52%.
If he does it well, I mean, you know, does he have a co-host for it?
I don't think he does right now. I think it's just him.
You could try out for that. I mean, seeing as how you have this, sporting goods, what else do you want? Oh, yeah, Geek Speak Report.
You know, first I'd have to read Silver Age comics, but we're never going to finish this promo. What the hell, man? 52% off at Heroes Corner, Spider-Man Clone Saga number one, only $1.92. Howard Mackey, Tom DeFalco, Todd Knock, covered by Pasquale Ferry, the way the Clone Saga should have happened in the first place, 6 goddamn issues. As opposed to like 72 that the Clone Saga turned out to be.
And from DC, we got Batman and Robin number 4.
Yes, we do.
Grant Morrison, Philip Tan, Jonathan Glapion, some colorist I don't remember. Return of the Red Hood. Who is it, the Red Hood? It's a new Red Hood. It's got a sidekick named Scarlet. It's a girl.
It's not a new Red Hood. It's the same old Red Hood.
But he has a killer costume, not a motorcycle jacket.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the old one. I think it's still going to be Jason Todd.
Okay.
Yeah, I could be wrong, though. Watch it turn out to be like Two-Face.
I kind of dig the Red Hood looking at like a mask, like helmets, rather than like an actual, like, you know, something you see on top of a streetlight.
You know, it really looks like you can go up to him and unscrew him.
Who is our independent pick, Ian?
Well, let's first say 52% off for $1.44, regular price $2.99. All right? That good? That
awesome.
Good? Good. Beast of Burden, number one, written by Evan Dorkin, who was on the best episode of Comic Timing ever.
April Fools.
No. It was still fun to have him on. And I say it over and over again. He schooled me, you know, back when I was still young at this. And
Hey, Ian, really what episode is that so people can go and listen to it?
Anyway, all you got to do is search for Evan Dorkin on the Comic Timing site.
I'm sure you know it off the top of your head. Come on.
I don't know it off the top of my head. It's like, what,
all right. It's before 36. It's before 30, yeah. 35, 36, because that's when I came
That's from. When you came on, yeah. It was a Matt Summer episode, and Evan Dorkin was like, anyway, Evan Dorkin writing the book with Jill Thompson.
Too bad.
on pencils. Oh dear! When a supernatural occurrence sweeps the community of Burden Hill, it's up to a heroic gang of cats and dogs to keep residents safe from harm. And looks, you know, a little bit of Wii 3 in there, a little bit of some cartoon action, and Evan Dorkin,
Homeward Bound.
That's true. It looks like it could be a lot of fun. And best off, it's 77% off for going with the sexual innuendo you've been doing all goddamn episode, 69 cents.
Bam!
Don't get the clap.
Make a clap.
You're going to have to cut that out, and we're just going to have to play that randomly on episodes.
I should go download it from iTunes now.
Get the clap. That'll be our new, I use the Metal Gear Solid codec. That'll be the new transition. Yeah. Get the clap. But yeah, 69 cents. Good times. And don't forget to check the fan picks as well. Plenty of stuff in the fan picks section this month that's amazing and outstanding and wonderful. And I didn't do a promo in the beginning of the episode, but, I'll leave that one to Brent.
You know, this one was just so damn good. We don't even need one.
Yeah, really? Really? You think so? No. That's
remind
not,
me.
Not, all right, I'll remind you. And this is, of course, the best damn customer service around. Discounts you want, service you deserve at heroescorner.com.
Did you make that up?
Actually, it's right there on their website.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Because that was pretty good.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's right on the logo.
All right, let's finish this 15-minute promo and exit out of here. I want to hear about Rap's girlfriend.
Oh, dear. Yo, you got anything upcoming you want to pimp? Nothing?
We might do some Green Lantern orgasms. You never know.
Great, now I just gave you something to put at the front again.
The way I edit now, I'll probably forget.
So. I will never forget that.
I'll never forget that.
you better make your ass out to Super Show, man. It's gonna be a while.
I know.
I mean, I might still try to make it to MegaCon also, but who knows?
But they're next to each other right now, right?
Yeah, they are. But I'm going to
go to Super Show. Go to Super Show.
Yeah, no, I'm going to.
If it comes down to either one, go to Super Show. Obviously,
of course, that's a given.
There's
man.
Like 15 people versus like me.
Well, again,
okay, and Sean and Travis.
If you'd like me to pay for your ticket to the actual show, I can, because I'm getting in for free.
For Super Show?
Yeah. I'm getting in for free.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the I've been to everyone thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I need to go, because I like free things.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. I can pay for my own ticket. It's $20.
All right, that's fine.
It's cheap.
Yeah. Cheap. And better yet, what you do, as opposed to having to worry about flying into, like, Philly or something like that, you fly into JFK, you meet us in Manhattan, we all go together.
How long of a drive is that?
What, from Manhattan? From JFK to Manhattan?
Yeah. Like, no.
What, from New York?
Yeah, to Philly, to like, Reading.
To Reading? It's like 3.5 hours.
Yeah, I might fly to Philly.
Yeah. All right. Well, either way, Philly to Reading is still like about an hour and a half.
Well, I know the next New York con. When is that?
Next New York Con is...
Yeah, New York Comic Con. It's next October, isn't it?
October, I think. Yeah, September or October.
We're definitely going to make it like that whole week-long thing.
Good.
Because Mandy wants to come to New York, so we'll probably be doing that.
Good, I'll show you the pad.
Yeah.
Bitchin'. The email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com, graciously hosted by the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. You never do, but do it anyway. And please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. Focus on that and don't really focus that much on Podcast Alley. Please, thank you. All right. You will see me at San Diego Comic-Con. Please go to the podcasting panel. I will be a part of it in one way or another. I'm not sure if I'm going to be on the panel itself or just a guest on it. Either way, come check us out. Go to dinner with us afterwards. Should be a lot of fun. Watch this come out after San Diego Comic-Con, and this will make no sense.
Hey. Have more faith in that.
All right, fine. That and there will be a San Diego Comic-Con wrap-up in one way or another. Whether or not I have interviews there or not, I'm not sure.
I might be on for that one if you get my figures.
Well, okay, fine. That's bribery. I love it. Bribery at its finest. Or better yet, how about I just keep them ransom until you show up in New York?
That's too long.
I have your figures. If you don't come to New York, you're never going to see them.
You could leave them at like a Dropbox somewhere in San Diego, so that when I go there the next week for work,
oh,
I
man.
Have to go to the trash can on 5th and 3rd. It's like,
you don't know
me. It's like
me.
A total Rorschach thing.
You don't know me, but I have your figures.
Small wonder, big figure.
Oh, poor Brent Cassina. I am Ian Levinstein. And as always, there's always time for comics. Let's just talk about Raph's girlfriend.
Yeah, no bloopers. Turn it off.
You know,
turn it off.
All right.
Bye.
Later. You schmucks.
Done it.
Yay.
Wow, I have not read those two in forever, dude.
Which is funny because I hadn't read them at all until like yesterday.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Alright. Yeah, I put them away.
I put them in my brother's room because
oh really?
I have all my comic boxes in.
Cool. Make yourself significantly louder.
Mic all the way up. How's
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah, it makes a difference in talking to the mic.
Yeah, imagine that.
How
okay.
About that?
All right, I'm all set.
All right. So, yeah, we're doing 5, I guess.
Yeah. I opted for the next week shipping.
Okay.
Because that way Blackest Night would come.
Ooh. Yeah, good call.
Because I wanted to read Blackest Night like crazy.
Well since I'm going to be out of town for, like, the next 2 weeks...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, Otakon, I leave for Otakon on Thursday night, and then we come back Sunday, and then I have 1 day reprieve until Comic-Con. I come back into town for exactly 1 day, and then I leave for Comic-Con.
Wow.
Yep.
That's cool.
I'll go to a Padres game.
Yeah. I should have done that when I was there.
Yeah.
Actually, I'll probably be going back there 26,
27, 28. Oh, yeah, the week after.
Yeah. When are you flying out?
I'm flying out the Tuesday. So
28th?
Let's see. I am... Okay, well, hold on. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I fly out on the 26th, which is Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm just going to miss you.
Well, the dates aren't for sure yet, but...
Oh, yeah.
Most likely it'll be flying out on the 26th.
Again, for work?
Yeah, for work.
So what is it? Do you guys have, like, another office out there or something? Or?
No, there's that Navy base out there on Coronado Island.
Okay, all right.
There's a trainer out there that we're testing. Mm-hmm. So we're going back to fix the things that were wrong the first time.
Okay.
Well, want to make sure they were fixed, not for us to fix them. The contractors do that.
Because they were wrong!
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris stayed out at Coronado 1 year for Comic-Con. She said it was nice.
Yeah, it's like a ritzy area.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, this year I'm just happy that, you know, we're so close to the damn place. That and I realized that the Padres Stadium, Petco, whatever the hell, Petco Field or Petco Park or whatever, is only like 2 feet away from the convention center.
Yeah, it's not very far. I walked down there.
Yeah, so Tuesday night we're going to go to the game, and then Wednesday we're going to go to the zoo, and when we're back from the zoo, preview night.
Yeah.
Huzzah.
Hey, if you could, I will pay you for as many different colors of Hal Jordan that you can get me.
I'm sorry, but what?
The exclusive figure?
Uh-huh.
It's Hal Jordan as all the different colored lanterns.
Oh, dude, there's a purple?
Yeah.
Fucking kick ass. I want me a purple Hal Jordan.
There's red, orange, blue. I don't think there's black, but I think it's all the others.
Is he in that, like, indigo tunic?
I think, I don't remember. I'll look up the picture here and send it to you.
Yeah, because, dude, I'm totally buying a purple Hal Jordan if I have the opportunity, man. Because, I mean, gay pride Hal Jordan. Hell yeah.
What the fucker? Not that. Firefox is so slow.
Well, don't use Firefox when you're using Skype. Like, use, like, Chrome or something.
No, I mean, I don't know. I had two windows open because it took forever for it to load up. I thought it was ignoring me, but and then it loaded two, and I just wanted to close one, and it closed both of them.
What version of Firefox are you running?
Whatever the newest one is.
3.5?
Yeah, I just downloaded it the other day.
Okay. Yeah, it runs pretty good for me on Vista, but, you know, three things run good on Vista.
Well, my computer's old as fuck. I'm going to wait till Windows 7 comes out.
Windows 7 is looking good. I actually already pre-ordered my upgrade for $49 because I want to get rid of Vista as fast as possible.
When do you know when it comes out about?
Yeah, I believe it comes out in October.
October? Yeah, this thing will last till October.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, I still have the same, you know, I'm on my old Dell desktop that I've had for 6 years.
Yeah, on Vista.
Yeah. Well, no, not on Vista, on XP.
Oh, on XP.
Yeah, my laptop is Vista. My desktop is XP. I just skinned it to look like, you know, not XP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, we can get the show on the road.
Yeah, but seriously, if you can, like, red, blue, and orange.
Red, blue, and orange.
Okay. Yeah, any of those.
I'll see what I can do. How much are they, anyway?
I don't know how much they are.
Okay.
But if you can get two or one or whatever, I'll pay for it.
Well, Pryor is already asking me to get him the exclusive Masters of the Universe art book. That they're going to be selling there, because apparently they're only selling at a Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. I think these are the same thing. I think it's really shitty.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've seen all the Blackest Night fixtures. Like, have you seen that picture of the four waves?
Yeah, I don't know if I have.
It's like all the Black Lanterns. There's like a Black Lantern Firestorm, okay. Black Lantern Superman, Martian Manhunter,
mm-hmm.
Black Lantern like Aquaman figure.
Well, I did actually just read the Green Lantern, which is like the prelude to Blackest Night. So I do know like everybody who's going to be a Black Lantern from that.
Okay.
Because it gives away all the names and inside of that, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a good issue, too. Well, so was the Green Lantern Corps before that, but fuck, Green Lantern Corps and Green Lantern have been good for the past, you know, year.
Yeah, I'm going to have those three to read on Monday.
Nice. Yeah. I might,
Blackest Night comes out tomorrow, right?
Blackest Night comes out tomorrow. I might actually suck it up and buy a second copy.
Yeah, I would.
Oh, dude, Wednesday Comics number one, man, was amazing.
Was it?
It was fantastic. I loved it. I loved being able to take out a comic on the train, open it up like a newspaper, and look like a normal person.
All right, we should start recording. We're talking about comics.
Yeah. Well, fine. We should start talking about things that aren't comics. Hey, how about that new car? All right. Okay. Yeah.
I'll always talk about that.
Yeah. Doing good for you. Doing good for you.
Oh, man. I love it so much.
Good. Good for you. Good for you. A pat you on the head. Yeah. Good.
Thank
job.
You. Woo. All right. Okay.
All right. Should I actually... Nah, you know, fuck it. We'll just record from here. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Well, actually, hold on. Why do I only have 4 in my hand now? Did something just fall? Let's see. 1, 2, 4. Yes, the Hellblazer fell. Hold on. Let me find it. Got it.
Your boy.
Okay. All right.
Uh-uh.
Man.
Wait, what? Say again. Oh, if you find him?
Yeah. Oh, wait. What happened? Did I cut out or something, or what?
No, I just lost you for a second.
Oh, okay. All right.